Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. I am taking your questions. You guys have emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. We have Richard Barris coming on our program to give us a piece-by-piece breakdown of the Virginia race, governor's race, which is happening tomorrow. By the way, tune in Tuesday night for nonstop election coverage on our Rumble channel and YouTube channel. You guys know where to find us. We'll be breaking it down as it happens, so make sure you check it out. And email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. We go into a lot of different stories today, including why does America have the lowest rate of nuclear families in the world? It's a stunning story. We go through that and so much more. And we have the election preview for Virginia. So text this one to your friends. I want to thank those of you that support our program generously. Thank you, thank you, thank you for getting behind us. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing to hire more staff, to strengthen our program. If you want to make us cancel proof, and if we've blessed you in any way, go to charliekirk.com/support and get behind the work we are doing. Everybody, get your tickets now. That's right. Take out your phones and go to tpusa.com/AMFEST. Donald Trump Jr., Candace Owens, Kayleigh McEnany, Tucker Carlson, and some bigger speakers yet to be announced. December 18, December 19, 20, and 21, tpusa.com/AMFEST. Tickets are running out, everybody, so get your tickets today to come to America Fest, tpusa.com/AMFEST, tpusa.com/AMFEST. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's the best way to stay in touch with us. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Nicholas from Maine says, Charlie, I hear you talk about single motherhood a lot. What are some solutions to that and how big is the problem? So I chose that question intentionally because it actually ties to a news story that is stunning. And I want to work through this with all of you. I don't even know how to start with this news story. I don't. This news story is perplexing. It's confusing. And if it's true, this should be a fire alarm. This is something where the leaders of our country should have a special session of Congress and slow down and say, whatever we're doing, it's not working. This is civilization-ending stuff, what I have in my hands, if it's true. And I don't know if it's true, and I have multiple different explanations, and I want your thoughts on this story, freedom@charliekirk.com. I guess the study was from a couple years ago. United States has world's highest rate of children living in single-parent households. And there's no way it's gotten better, by the way, since the virus. Almost a quarter of U.S. children live in single-parent homes, more than any other country on the planet. Let me say that again. More than any other country on the planet. And so the obvious explanation as to why this is wealth. Is in poorer countries, you just don't have the money or the luxury or the ability to break up a family. You need a nuclear family to stay alive in Zambia. Even if you don't like your husband or don't like your wife, what keeps you together is survival. Well, in America, because of our abundance of garbage we've imported from China and our instantaneous scientific and technological economy that's rigged towards instant gratification, it's like, I don't like my spouse, I'm just going to leave. And in a perverse way, wealth has made our moral fabric weaker. I want you to think about that. Now, a libertarian won't agree with that. A staunch libertarian person who just defends abstractions all day long, they say, no, 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 it's what you do with it. That's the silliest argument I've ever heard, okay? There are externalities to conditions. Economics teaches you that. So 23% of U.S. children live in single-parent homes. The next highest on the planet is the United Kingdom, 21%. That's a wealthy country. Russia, 18%. Not as wealthy, but definitely previously war-torn. We have more children living without parents than countries that are known for orphans, without two parents. Kenya, 16%. Japan, only 7%. India, which is one of the poorest countries on the planet, 5%. Brazil, 10%. Pew Research says while U.S. children are more likely than children elsewhere to live in single-parent households, they're much less likely to live in extended families, of course. We farm out the treatment of elderly people to nursing homes. It's part of the American tradition, I guess. In the United States, 8% of children live with relatives such as grandparents and aunts, compared to 38% of children globally. This has been intentional, though. And this is something that we as conservatives must say, this is not right. Now, mind you, moderate Republicans and liberal conservatives, they have no problem with these numbers. All they care about is economic projections, GDP growth, how much garbage we're importing from China. But we as conservatives, we need to say, no, no, we care about the health of the society as a whole, not public health like CDC and NIH and all that nonsense that they've been propagandizing us. But 23% of kids in America are growing up without two parents. Time out. That's the highest in the world. What are we doing that's forcing it that way? Well, it's easier to divorce in America than ever before. It's easier to have children in America without being married and staying in a relationship. I'm going to get us in some trouble. You ready for this? The feminist movement is largely to blame for this as well. The American feminist movement is largely to blame for the separation of nuclear families. Instead of figuring it out, it's, I'm done. And luxury and wealth allows this to happen because there is not an economic necessity to actually keep families together. You want to know why America all of a sudden is becoming two totally different countries or multiple different countries where the wealthy remain infinitely wealthy and the middle class gets absolutely crushed? This is one of the reasons. This is one of the reasons. And no one wants to talk about this. Instead, we're talking about systemic racism. What is that? How about the fact that 23% of kids in America don't have two parents in the home? Pew Research. We're going to post this at charliekirk.com. It's so incredible. It takes your breath away. That in Japan, 7%. China, 3%. Israel, 5%. By far the highest of children that are growing up in single-parent homes. We know children growing up in single-parent homes are more likely to then take government assistance. They're more likely to live on the dole. More likely to go to prison. Why aren't we having a national project to try to solve this? Oh no, instead our corporations, they're okay with this because they just want to hit their profit earning projections. That's all they care about. They want to addict us to more sugary drinks or instantaneous dopamine rushes from your smartphones or products that you don't need that are going to fill your closets or your garages while the country continues to deteriorate. No, in order to actually get the country back to a place of where you could recognize it, it would be nice if all of a sudden we had a campaign to say, how are we going to lower the single parent threshold? And we are the worst on the planet on this. That should be humiliating. I don't care about our GDP, right? I care about how many kids are growing up with fathers and mothers in the home. I think that's way more important than, oh, we have corporate earning projections. Oh, look at the stock market. It's off the charts. I don't care. There are 23% of kids without a father in the home. Now, it doesn't say that it's without a father, but I guarantee that 99% of these are father abandonment, which also goes to show the emasculation of the American man that allows men to abandon their responsibilities, to not stay with a woman after they have a child with her, turning men into women and women into men. This is how you get this. The metamorphosis of traditional gender roles. And there's other factors at play as well, obviously. Men are so weak right now in America, and I'm sure there's plenty of strong men. I meet them all the time. We have some that work for us. But generally, men are the weakest that we have seen in American history. And they've been beat down, quite honestly. And you talk to a 15 or 16-year-old young boy at every turn, if they're a white young boy, white people are the problem. We're going to get into what AT&T said next. We have a question about that because that ties right into this. And then we have a question about mass sterilization. New story out of New York Post. Humans are a mistake. Why more young women are getting sterilized, from the New York Post. Literally, New York Post story. Humans are a mistake. Why more young women are getting sterilized. We will cover that in a second. But yeah, young men, especially young white men, are getting beat down all the time. But it is young men of every single racial color that are experiencing a massive and deliberate campaign to try to make them feel weak, to try to suppress their ambition, to try and suffocate their dreams. And so you get a whole mixture of this. So here is the question. And boy, this, you want to talk about sexual anarchy? This is sexual anarchy. What I said a couple weeks ago, people lost their minds. It's what it is. This is not good for anybody. This is not good for children. It's not good for the parents. It's not good for the society. It's not good for the country. Where 23% of American kids are growing up in single-parent homes. Highest rate on the planet. It'll make us poorer. It'll make America more dangerous. It'll make America a political pressure cooker. And guess what? Those young people that are raised without fathers, they will find meaning in social activism groups. They'll find meaning on digital social media. They'll find meaning in crime. They'll find meaning in political activism, or they'll find meaning in the state. As the family dies, the country falls alongside of it. Big tech is monitoring, censoring, mining, and selling your online information. SquadPod is the solution. 100% U.S. programmed, owned, and operated. SquadPod is a convenient all-in-one application supporting your private connection with others of your choice. I know the people behind SquadPod. They do a great job. Safely bring together your family, your friends, your team, club, businesses, or congregation with SquadPod's chat, document sharing, discussion, and televideo capabilities. The SquadPod application is encrypted, protecting your communications and content without any annoying advertisements. They do not censor, mine, profile, or sell your information. I have gotten to know the SquadPod team. They are true patriots with a mission dedicated to your privacy, safety, and freedom of speech. Join myself and other organizations such as Turning Point USA, nonprofits, and churches by adopting SquadPod as your collaboration platform. Take back control of your privacy by visiting squadpod.com/Charlie. That is squadpod.com/Charlie. Great people. Check it out right now. Squadpod.com/Charlie. Similar question here from Susie from Mississippi. Charlie, why are birth rates going down and how does it relate to our current culture? And I'm kind of paraphrasing it here. New York Post, it kind of ties perfectly into this. Humans are a mistake, New York Post says, why young women are getting sterilized. Rachel Diamond looks like most of the moms at the Park Slope Cafe where we meet. She's wearing a green t-shirt under a black corduroy jumper, sensible shoes, and carries a smart leather bag. She sips a $4 iced chai tea latte. Except the 31-year-old isn't a mom, and she never will be. You know, she said, I never expected to be the poster child of sterilization. One on the aspiring actor's TikTok, one finds short, funny videos. Diamond job working to register at the cafe near Union Square and updates on her rescue pit bull, Rue, who has anemia. Oh, but she likes dogs, but not humans. Interesting. It's been 5 months and she's had her fallopian tubes cut, not tied, and she has 64,000 followers. She's done videos such as sterilization, being child-free. We do know what we're missing. She says, looking back, I never pretended that my American girl dolls were children. They were always my sisters. They were little things showing that I wasn't pretending myself for motherhood. I think for me, it's as innate as saying I've always wanted to be a mom. Diamond is hardly an outlier. Americans are making fewer babies than we've seen since starting keeping track since the 1930s. And some women, like Diamond, are not just putting off pregnancy, but eliminating the possibility of it altogether. Last year, the number of deaths exceeded the number of births in 25 states, up from 5 the year before. The marriage rate is also at an all-time low, at 6.5 marriages per 1,000 people. Millennials are the first generation where a majority are unmarried, about 56%. They're also more likely to live with their parents, according to Pew, than previous generations were in their 20s and 30s. Humans are a mistake, the New York Post writes. Now, they don't believe it. They're just actually, they wrote a really good article here. And I like the New York Post. They're also the most sexless generation in American history. The number of young men who admit they've had no sex in the past year has tripled between 2008 and 2018. Cities like New York, where young secular Americans flock to build their lives, are increasingly childless. In San Francisco, there are more dogs than children. Let me say that again. In San Francisco, there are more dogs than children. And the explanation of this is so easy. The more secular your country becomes, why have children? If you don't believe in a transcendent order or in God, what's the point? They're an inconvenience. That's what college teaches you. College teaches you humans are the problem and trees are the answer. And this is not a small, these are AOC's people, by the way. It used to be that people wanted to have children, women especially, but also men. That was a young, healthy person's default position, and our existence depended on it. We wanted to do other things, of course, and a great post-feminist challenge was now to have it all. It's a lie. The proper work-life balance, the career and the baby, the supportive husband and the adventurous life. But now, for an increasing number, the question isn't how to have it at all, it's why do it at all? This is so nihilistic, and it's exactly where our culture is headed. When you send your children to college, they get fed with this propaganda, this garbage. The psychological reversal didn't just happen. It took place inside the hurricane of spiritual, cultural, and environmental forces swirling around us. Who wrote this piece, by the way? Susie Weiss did a great job. The message for the young cohort is clear. Life is already exhausting enough, and the world is broken and burning. Who would want to bring new, innocent life into a criminally unequal society situated on a planet with a catastrophically rising sea levels? You see, the Greta Thunberg worldview is in the elimination of the human species. Let me say that again. The Greta Thunberg worldview is focused on the elimination of the human species. Why have human beings if the world's going to end? That's the extrapolation of that. New York Post does a great job of it. 39% of Gen Zers are hesitant to procreate for fear of a climate apocalypse. A nationally representative study of adults in Michigan found that a quarter of adults are child-free by choice. And new research by the Institute of Family Studies found that the desire to have children among adults decreased by 17%. I am not kidding when I say this. If these trends continue, America is going to be a very conservative country by 2050. We're going to be the only ones having children. No, if this is as dramatic as they say it is, this is incredible. I think it's morally wrong to bring a child into this world, said Isabel, a self-proclaimed antinatalist who lives in southwestern Texas. No matter how good someone has it, they will suffer. Think about the worldview you must have. No matter how bad someone has it, they will suffer. That is a Buddhist principle, by the way. The first universal principle of Buddhism is life is suffering. Life is also beautiful. There's joy and wonder. But this is what happens. They go to college and they get filled with this stuff. The real estate market is extremely hot right now. People are taking advantage of low interest rates and economic uncertainty by investing in real assets. Whether you are a first-time buyer or just looking to make a change, the key is to get in the property you want is being pre-qualified and having cash in hand. That's why you guys, all of us, myself included, I had to stop doing this. I had to stop using the big banks. I used a big bank for a loan previously. It was a disaster. It took forever. Not to mention, I go look at their score on secondvote.com. Like, wow, my loan helped fund abortions, BLM Incorporated, burning down of Wendy's, the destruction of our society. I'm done with it. Then I met Andrew and Todd. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, who become great friends of mine, andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. My producer, Andrew, he's working with them right now, and he tells me they are part counselors, part financial planners, and they're really helping them, and I'm about to use them for something. I've been so impressed by them. But they are bankers, not brokers. That means that they can help you start to finish. But quite honestly, let's divest and take all of our money out of these woke banks. So maybe you're buying a new home. Maybe you're refinancing. Whatever process you're going through, just fill out a couple simple questions online at andrewandtodd.com. They can assess your situation right over the phone. Go to andrewandtodd.com or call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. Even if you have a friend who's buying a home, I'm sure every single person knows someone that's buying a home. Just put your arm around them and say, hey, go to andrewandtodd.com. Charlie Kirk speaks favorably of them. Here's what I can guarantee you with andrewandtodd.com. Zero of the proceeds will go to fund abortion. Zero. We'll go to fund BLM. Zero will go to fund the woke industrial complex instead. Andrew and Todd, they support shows like ours. They want to help patriots, Christians, and people that love their country and love the Lord take out loans and do it correctly. So go to andrewandtodd.com, call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. andrewandtodd.com. Support the good guys and stop supporting companies and banks that hate you. The banks have waged war on our values. Time to say sayonara, vaya con Dios. Alvita Sane. I'll be going to andrewandtodd.com. Okay, let's get to Richard Barris. Do we have Richard Barris on the line?
I can hear you, Charlie. How you doing?
We're doing great. All right, so I see you off to the side here. So if it looks like I'm looking to the side, I apologize.
Yeah, that's cool.
So Richard, you're smart, much smarter than Nate Silver. I say that every time you come on. And you get things right. You do a terrific job. And you're the best with polling and political predictions that I've seen. And so let's talk about what's happening in Virginia. Let's take this piece by piece. We got about 10 minutes to go through this. Where was this race 6 months ago, and how and why did it develop into the tight race it is today?
Yeah, I mean, even a month ago, Charlie, McAuliffe, he was a former Democratic governor who left supposedly with an approval rating around 54%. This should really not have been a race. Virginia is, even with the current climate, Virginia is, had Joe Biden won at 10 points, 54-44. What really is going on in the last 8 months or so, 6 months, Democrats began to erode support in Virginia, and it's coming from independents. The Democratic base is a little leakage there, but it really is coming from mm-hmm. independents and third-party voters who supported Democrats last November. And at the end of the day, Glenn Youngkin turned the page almost at the perfect time. And it wasn't only him. He had help, but the public education issue soared to the forefront. And Democrats, the whole time throughout these last few months, wanted this to be about Medicare expansion, Medicaid expansion, Trump, amazingly, and of course, about the pandemic response. And instead, Charlie, three out of the four top issues are Republican environment issues. So jobs in the economy is number one, taxes, inflation, and cost of living is number two, and now three is public education, and four is coronavirus. So it just turned up a call of all of the, it's like the perfect storm, you know, it turned all the political stars aligned for Youngkin, and we see he's got a lead now. He does.
And now, did you see a difference in how Youngkin has been campaigning? did you see kind of a shedding of the Chamber of Commerce mentality and an embrace and more of a kind of grassrootsy focus type campaign?
Yeah, I did. And he did it at the right time. I mean, timing is everything in politics. And when we first, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago or so, we had the race really close, but it looked like McAuliffe still had a little bit of an edge. And he started hammering the Loudoun County issue. At that time, only 33% of voters told us they were aware of the report in Loudoun County. They weren't aware there was a sexual assault. They weren't aware of critical race, you know, theory. They weren't aware of parents being removed from Board of Education hearings for questioning sexual assaults on their daughters. And Glenn Youngkin, you know, sometimes if you're trying to reach the voter who's reading the Washington Post or watching something other than Fox or the Daily Wire, then you have to be that proactive candidate who brings their attention to the forefront.
Yes.
And he did that. And he said, I demand an investigation. Day one as governor, I'll ban critical race theory. And what we saw was a slew of independents say, what is he talking about? And then they went and they educated themselves. And now today, as it sits today, about half of the electorate is aware of those stories. The more they were aware, the more likely they were to be a Youngkin voter. So it's looking about 2 out of 10 voters. He probably single-handedly educated on this issue. And it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off.
Well, and it's growing. You see walkouts at the Loudoun County schools, right? You see young people that are getting involved. The media is even being forced to cover it. And this is worse than anything McAuliffe could have imagined, because a couple weeks before, he went all in so arrogantly and so braggadociously. Who are parents to think that they have a say in their education? And he was still up pretty big in the polls when he said that, because that's stuff people say when they're running for governor in California or Oregon. Like, they're untouchable, right? That's like an untouchable type thing to say. And then you have this, the bombshell report from the Daily Wire, and it got covered everywhere else, where it's, okay, the superintendent, the criminal, he knew about it, lied about it at the meeting, sent an email about it, They sent the rapist to another school after he raped one girl. They covered it up. It's worse. It's if you were to concoct just a absolute just like criminal conspiracy. I don't use that word lightly, Richard. That's what it would be. Now, Richard, I want you to help us with this one, which is what parts of Virginia should we be looking at on Tuesday? I think you're going to be joining our program Tuesday if you can, our live stream. We're able to cross. I know you do your own.
Yeah, we could do that.
But just kind of give us a little preview.
That's like
what count?
Oh, go ahead.
Counties.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Charlie, the first place I'm going to look is Loudoun County, because it, you know, to really understand how Glenn Youngkin can win this race, you've got to know how Republicans lost Virginia. And Fairfax is always going to go 75-25 to the Democratic candidate. But once upon a time, when it was a light red state, Republicans won or kept Loudoun close, and that is a high population zone. If Glenn Youngkin is leading in Loudoun County, it's over. But he needs to battle it close to 4 to 8 points around that margin. If it is, then his lead in the Shenandoah Valley, the mountain region, will, you know, the equation goes that it'll put him over. As long as, again, Hampton Roads, Richmond South, he's running stronger there than recent Republican candidates. So it really does come down to Loudoun. He needs to not get blown out there.
Yes.
And the DC suburbs in general, Ken Cuccinelli got about 39% overall of the DC suburbs. We have Glenn Youngkin in the low, you know, threatening to hit mid 40s.
Then he wins. I don't want to be overly bullish.
Yeah.
But there's this interesting coalition because of what Biden's doing to our country, intentionally destroying it. The rurals are going to show up. The people are in Virginia. It's like a pressure cooker. Even though Youngkin is kind of a boring Mitt Romney, they don't care. They're like, I want to send a message. I want to, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I'm seeing, at least in polling and grassroots. I mean, all across the southwestern region of Virginia, the score is going to get run up. But in Virginia, there are three power centers for the Democrat dominance: the suburbs of Washington, D.C., the ruling class, Fairfax, Loudoun County, the Virginia Beach area, and Richmond. Do we see any movement in Virginia Beach and Richmond? Do we see any, or are those probably going to be pretty reliable from a call?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say Youngkin's going to win those areas, but he's running much tighter than either Ed Gillespie against Ralph Northam. Or Ken Cuccinelli against Terry McAuliffe the first time, which was a very close race, if people remember. But this is really, and you just nailed it, because you were talking about those voters. Joe Biden won Virginia, like I said, 54-44, but it wasn't because they had this huge Democratic advantage in the electorate. It was D plus two. That's it. The independent and third party voters backed Biden by almost a 20-point margin, if you believe the exit polls. Now, 34% approve of the job they're doing, and they're going for Youngkin at last count by 13 points. And that's, by the way, that's growing. We had some actually trickle in today. We'll probably do one more little update, but this is generally the final result, which is Youngkin plus three. These are not voters who came out of nowhere or new voters. They backed Biden last November. They changed their mind now. They're going Republican. It's a big difference. And McAuliffe would need a bigger Democratic advantage Tuesday in the electorate, the partisan makeup of the electorate. He would need a bigger advantage than Joe Biden got over Donald Trump. Ralph Northam, it was D plus six to D plus eight, depends whether you believe exit polls or the Fox voter analysis. That's not going to happen. That was a pro-Democratic year, depressed Republican enthusiasm and turnout. This is a pro-Republican year with depressed Democrat enthusiasm. So, you know, history is history, Charlie. Virginia's got a long history of doing this. I was, which is to say, voting for the out-of-power party candidate. So if the White House was won by a Republican the prior year, they'll vote for the Democrat for governor. They've been doing this for decades. I questioned whether this pattern would continue because as the state got more Democratic, Democrats are not as, they're more rigid. Right. And I use this example, but it's true. If we reverse the roles in a state like Alabama and the candidate like Roy Moore was the Democratic candidate and it was a blue state, Roy Moore probably still would have won because Democrats are more rigid. Their partisan leanings I hate to say less tolerant.
More firm.
Yeah, but it's true. Right. This time around, it's not that they're leaking from Terry McAuliffe. They're not. I mean, the crossover vote is about equal. It's the independent group and the third party group. So, Youngkin is killing McAuliffe among people who call themselves libertarians, Green Party, you know, different. They have other third party affiliations.
And that's just that. And that tells me that's just the basic indictment of the system vote. I hate people in charge.
Yep.
I want to send them a message. So we have a question here from Carl from Maryland, not too far away. How can we be assured they're not going to enact shenanigans, tomfoolery, and kind of the typical late night voting dumps that we've become so accustomed to? Richard, what's your anticipation with that when it comes to election integrity going into Tuesday?
You know, you can't is the answer to that question. So you got to vote. You know, build up the buffer, get beyond the margin of shenanigans, and it can be done. It can. You know, God bless Bob Beckel. I'll never forget this. 2004, Ed Gillespie versus Mark Warner. That was supposed to be a 7-12 point win for incumbent Senator Mark Warner, who's a Democrat. And, you know, it was really close. Ed Gillespie was putting up a really good fight, and a very loose Bob Beckel, you know, basically told the Fox News panel, don't worry about it. We've been doing this in Fairfax for years. We're going to find those votes, right? But Gillespie did not have the momentum that we see with Youngkin. They've been doing this for a long time. Bob Beckel's right. And the look on the faces of that panel, Brett Baer, Dana Perino, you know, stunned like, you know, deer in headlights. Did he really just say that out loud? But it is true. And Fairfax is going to Fairfax. But if you outperform in Loudoun County, Arlington, Fredericksburg, all of that, it's not going to matter. And that's the message I would give to everybody who's concerned about that. Just vote and it won't matter.
Now, not everyone's interested in precious metals, IRAs, or 401k rollovers. Some people are happily putting their life savings on the stock market. Some people are launching themselves into property investment. Charlie Kirk here. All that, what looks like the top of the market. What could possibly go wrong? With the supply chain issues and inflation is here and also coming even more, unemployment climbing, isn't it all a bit risky? And don't even get started about the $25 trillion of debt. If you've been thinking about investing safer, you can retire comfortably and sleep at night. It's time to talk to Noble Gold about the tax advantages and other pluses of precious metal IRAs. Of course, you might love uncertainty, but if you don't, this month, Noble Gold are giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying IRA you start. Call us at 877-646-5347 or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Check it out, everybody. noblegoldinvestments.com. Buy things you can touch. noblegoldinvestments.com. They do a phenomenal job. Hedge against inflation. noblegoldinvestments.com. Okay, so Richard, we have a question here. William from Oregon says, what would a Virginia governor's race mean? National implications going into the midterms. What kind of message would that send? How big of a deal is this?
That's a great question. You know, and I would say already that it is a message. Of course, a win for Republicans really would drive it home, and I'll tell you why. But, you know, basically what we are seeing, what Virginia tells us right now without even knowing the winner, is that Democrats and Joe Biden have lost at least 10 points in a state that is right in their backyard. So it's supposed to be, you know, their power center, their economy relies on them. So it means a lot for other states moving forward. What I would say the win, though, would secure is there are a lot of moderates in the Republican Party that are afraid of these issues that Youngkin pivoted and decided to listen to the base and talk about education, CRT, even the transgender bathroom issues, which I'm sure you saw the polling, Charlie, we did. They are deeply unpopular. Gender neutral bathrooms, transgender locker rooms, transgender sport competitions. And what this will tell the Mitt Romney Republican is to stop being a coward because the American public is on your side. And that's already starting to happen. We are already speaking to establishment Republican strategists that are coming to the realization, wow, this really worked here, didn't it? Yes, it did.
Well, and I think that's a really important thing. And they're doing everything they possibly can to try and the Democrats downplay this.
Yeah.
So they have brought they brought in Obama. They brought in all these different types of surrogates. Right. And so this is a similar type question, but I'm going to ask this more specifically for one demographic. And we have a question here from Bryce. Let's say it's Bryson here. Says, would this be a roadmap to win back suburban voters? Because Richard, you and I talk about suburban voters a lot. You talked a little bit about the polling. It seems to be everything we've been told to win over suburban voters hasn't been true. Yep. Maybe there's another way.
Yeah. And the culture, the new culture war is a way back into suburbia. It is. And of course, it probably will increase even more the rural margin. But it is a way in. And it is also urban voters, Charlie, that, you know, that just I think people make the mistake of assuming they're OK with it because they live in that world. But the fact is, you look at the parental status demographic in this poll. And normally, if you have children and they're 18 years or older, that is the most conservative group. They're out of school. Those parents are already older. They've been through the system. They're kind of like wise to it. And they're the most conservative. But this time around in this race, Youngkin he's winning that group and he's winning them pretty nicely. But that's not the biggest margin he has among parents. It's school age children under the age of 18. And women in that category are problematic or have been for Republicans in the last 4 years or so. That is not the case here. McAuliffe is barely winning them. And then men, which I'm calling like the revenge of fathers. McAuliffe is getting crushed among men who have children 18 years or younger in school. And I can't imagine why that would be after they see, you know, images of a concerned father being drug out like a domestic terrorist of a Board of Education meeting because his daughter was sexually assaulted. Youngkin is winning 67% of these men. So, and by the way, we weren't the only ones to find that. That was in the Fox poll yesterday. In a 35-point margin, we have a 36.
I find it hard to believe that's not a winning equation, which is my last question for you, Richard, which is everyone's asking this. What's your final prediction? What's going to happen?
I think it's Youngkin by three. I do. I think we nailed it. If you look at where he's at, Charlie, undecideds that are remaining are already a Youngkin group. There's some voter-rich targets in there from McAuliffe, but the problem is Youngkin is 0.5% away from a majority.
Wow.
So, you know, you lose too many more black and brown voters to Youngkin. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Everybody, I hope you understand that when Richard Barris makes a prediction, you should write it down and take it to the bank. And I hope you'll join us on Tuesday so we could see it in
person.
My last question, will we know a winner on Tuesday, or is this going to be another just circus?
You know, I should have included that in the I think it was the first question. But yeah, Mark Elias has been hired by Terry McAuliffe.
Phenomenal.
This is a man who was sanctioned by a judge for trying to overturn an election they lost in Iowa. That's how he makes his millions, folks, by getting judges or trying to get judges to count votes that are otherwise illegal. So, know, that tells you they plan on stretching this thing out.
Richard Barris, Big Data Polls. We'll see you on Tuesday. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And as always, please get your tickets to AmFest, tpusa.com/AMFEST. Thank you for supporting us, everybody. God bless. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.